can't see you now. Oh, we'll talk it over in the by and by. We're gonna talk it over, my sweet Lord and I. I'll ask the reasons, he'll tell.
Hallelujah. Well, we'll talk it over. There's a lot of unexplained issues that we go through in this life. A lot of things we don't understand. But I'm going to tell you something. Over there, if it's worth bringing up, we'll be talking to somebody that'll have the answer. And if it's not worth bringing up, we won't even worry about it no how. Is that right? Are you glad to be in the house of the Lord tonight? What a privilege it is to be in church tonight. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Now you might have to move around a little bit extra tonight. But shake somebody's hand, tell them you're glad to see them in church tonight. What a privilege it is to be in the house of God. Brother Samuel, good to see you, buddy. God bless you. Brother Rob, God bless you, buddy. Good to see you, sir. Lower it one key. Yeah, I do. Brother Wes. God bless you, buddy. It's good to see you. Partner, how you doing? Good to see you. We're going to talk it over in the Bible. Brother Brandon Green. We're going to talk it over, my sweet Lord and Let's look at, there's not but just a few requests tonight. If you just want to remain standing with me just for a few minutes, I want to pray for a sister, Ruth Balash. I hope I got that name right, that she can find employment and a good automobile. Let's just pray that the Lord would be mindful of her in that situation. Brother Tracy asked that the church would remember him in prayer. So I certainly want to continue to remember our brother, that the Lord would just help him. I want to pray for Marcus Turner. He had some tests done. Pray that all will come back normal. So let's remember that need tonight. Sister Lena Jones offers this testimony. I just want to give God praise for some recent tests that I had done. They all came back normal. She says, praise God. So praise the Lord for that. Hallelujah. Amen. Brother Terry Horn sends this in to please continue to remember Sister Julie in prayer. They had to do a surgery on her right lung. It did have a small hole in it. They put a titanium staple in it to close it up. Recovery seems to be going well. A couple more days in the hospital. Thank you very much. So praise the Lord for that. Let's just praise God that all is going to be well for Julie today. Brother Reese says, remember my aunt Ruth Monroe in Kingsport. She is taking it very hard. She lost her sweetheart of 60-some years. So let's pray for that lady, that the Lord would just wrap her in His arms of love and give her some consolation during this time. Brother Mike Pinkston says to please pray for me. I'm having tests done next Wednesday. Believe with me that all will come back okay. My doctor has found an area of concern, so we want to remember Brother Mike in prayer tonight. Sister Rachel Hamblin sends this in, says, Sister Mary Lewis sent me a message asking for prayer. She is scheduled to go to be in St. Louis on September the 9th to have her back checked. The rods that were placed in her spine and hips back in 1985 are causing inflammation in her joints, and they think that maybe her hips also may be dislocated. So we certainly want to pray for Sister Mary Lewis, that the Lord would just be mindful of her, that family, that God would help them. This announcement tonight, there is a ladies' watch over in the library that has been found. If you've lost it, you can pick it up in the library. So remember that. We'll remember all those that are traveling tonight and different places all over the country. Meetings going on. Pray for all the meetings. Our pastor with Brother Fred Mullins and those folks in South Carolina. So let's pray that God will just give them a wonderful time. And we're going to have a good time here tonight. We come to house and church, didn't we? Amen. Praise the Lord. Wednesday night here was just, well, it was camp meeting. I don't know about you, but it was just a wonderful, wonderful environment. And, well, we're glad to be back to be in that atmosphere again tonight. Do you love the Lord with all your heart? Isn't He the greatest thing that ever got a hold of your life? Give Him one more hand clap of praise tonight. We're going to talk it over in the by and by. Yes, we'll talk it over, my sweet Lord and I. I'm gonna ask the reasons. He'll tell me why. When we talk it over in the by and spoken prayer request tonight, something you'd like for this group to pray about. If you would continue to remember our little granddaughter, Andy and Jennifer's little girl, Emma, in prayer. I just believe He's in the process of doing a healing in that little girl's life. We're going to believe that. If our God cannot take care of that, we're serving a pretty weak God. But I'm resting in this fact that God is bigger than any tactic that the devil can bring about it. Do you believe that with all your heart tonight? Is your God bigger than the devil? Is your God bigger than the devil tonight? We're going to talk it over. Oh, in the fire.
This has got to be probably the longest camp meeting that I can remember. I've been coming down here about 8 years. And it started many, many years ago, but it's been going on ever since I've been here for 8 years. Longest camp meeting I've ever been in. We're blessed to be in that camp meeting. More blessed than that, we're blessed to be in that number. We sing this song, I'm so glad I'm in that number. I'm in that number. That blood wash number, I'm so thankful to be in that number. God's choosing his election. It was his choice. God chose his bride from the foundation of the world. The least I can do is love him and serve him, treat him right, best that I know how. Come to church, do what I know to do. He'll do the rest. If I can do my part, I know he's done his. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, how thankful we are to be back in the house of God. Lord, it's not just a phrase that perhaps, Lord, we all are familiar with. We get to go to church tonight, but truly, it's a privilege. And we see that as perhaps those days are numbered. We're not being negative. We just see the reality of the end of time. It's not getting better. It's getting worse. But we realize as we get closer to that hour, it's also closer to going home. And that's, after all, that's really our desire, Lord, is to be with you. You're our bridegroom, our savior, our lover. I pray, God, that you'll come present tonight. We invite you in the presence, to our presence. Lord, take the uppermost seat. May what you do and say, Lord, and what we do and say, Lord, may it be compatible. And we worship you. And we ask, Lord, that you would help us, Lord, that our life would be more compatible to you. Lord, you don't come down to our level, but we've got to come up to your level. We got to come up a little bit higher. And as we hear these messages where we're being honed down and fitted to fit that great capstone of love, Lord, the brotherly kindness and that statue of a perfect man, we've got to have that. And Lord, we've got to have that great capstone of love. God, we're thankful for this end time word and what it's done for us. I pray, Lord, for these requests now. I look to you. Brother Tracy, that first request has been mentioned. You know, it's neat. God, help him. Lord, he's up in age. We realize that. But age is nothing to you. Lord, if it be your will to keep him around here a few more years, that'd be just wonderful. Let him see the rapture. Lord, if you'd like to touch him and make him well, God, we just believe you can do that also. We just commit him in your hands. We thank you for what you've done for my little daughter, Julie. I pray, God, that you continue to give her restoration of health. Lord, and it could have been real serious, collapsed lung, but Lord, you intervened. And God, you took care of her, and how we appreciate that. Look back and see Brother Junior Davis, different ones, Lord, that you have healed and touched, and we appreciate it so much, Lord. You're an ever-present help in a time of trouble. You're the great I am, the way, the truth, the life. Lord, how great thou art. Be with the meetings, as Brother Louis mentioned, our pastor, wherever he might be tonight. Lord, whether it be at the meeting there or somewhere else, on the road somewhere, we don't know. Many traveling, be with them. Give them traveling mercies. The enemy likes to kill, steal, and destroy, but you watch over your children. I pray, Lord, tonight you just anoint Brother David Seiler to speak the word of God. Give him the ever-present water from the rock. When he comes forth, Lord, may you just hide him behind that cross. Get him out of the way, and may that gift speak to us. May we pull on the gift. May we say, it's been good to be in the house of God. We love our brother. We appreciate you sending him our way. We ask, Lord, just anoint him to speak, anoint us to hear. Bless the further part of the service, and may all that's done and said, every request, Lord, I only mentioned Cumble, but you know they've already been spoken. Heal each one. Lord, the unsaved loved ones, all signified by raised hand, bring them into the kingdom. Brood over their hearts. Lord, time has almost run out. We ask these favors in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
God bless you. Ushers, if you'll come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're a visitor here tonight, we certainly want to welcome you to the service. Glad to have you. Let's sing an old, old song of the church, but it's still a good song. Well, I'm so glad Jesus set me free. Yes, I'm so glad Jesus set me free. I'm so glad Jesus set me free, singing glory, hallelujah. Jesus set me free. Let's go up one key. Yes, I'm so glad Jesus set me free. Yes, I'm so glad Jesus set me free. I'm so glad Jesus set me free, singing glory, hallelujah. Jesus set me free. Well, I'm so glad that Jesus lifted me. I'm so glad that Jesus lifted me. I'm so glad that Jesus lifted me, singing glory, hallelujah. Jesus lifted me. And I'm on my way to heaven. I'm shouting victory.
I'm on my way to heaven, shouting victory. I'm on my way to heaven, shouting victory, singing glory, hallelujah. Jesus set me free. Well, I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. Lord, I'm so glad. That Jesus lifted me, singing glory, hallelujah. Jesus lifted me. Now Satan had me bound, Jesus set me free. Satan had me bound. Oh, Satan had me bound, but Jesus set me free. Singing glory, hallelujah. Jesus set me free. And I'm on my way to heaven. Yes, I'm on my way to heaven. Well, I'm on my way to heaven. Sing glory, hallelujah. Jesus set me free. And I'm so glad that Jesus set me free. I'm so glad Jesus set me free. That Jesus set me free. Singing glory, hallelujah. Jesus set me free. So until then, my heart will go.
Let's sing that little chorus, I Want to Be Ready. Just before we change the order of the service tonight, let's sing this little chorus, I Want to Be Ready. By the grace of God, we're going to be ready. He didn't start this just to lose us. We're going to be a finished product. Don't get mad at me, and I won't get mad at you because you're still in the oven being baked. And you're getting hewed out, and you're getting beat up, and you're getting whipped. But the thing about it is, we love every second of it. Are we crazy or what? We love every second of it. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, He's a good God. He loves His children. Amen. God bless you. Let's sing that. Let me welcome to the service tonight, Brother Peter and Sister Rachel Coffey. They're here with us tonight. Where would you folks be? Raise your hand so we can see you tonight. Where are they? Just give us a right over here. God bless you. Good to see you. Give a good hand tonight. Amen. We're kind of favored of His. We kind of favor His dad in a lot of ways too. Brother Barry, God bless you. So good to have Him in the service with us tonight. Yes, I want to be ready. Oh, I want to be ready to go. Yes, I want to be ready. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
God bless you. You can be seated tonight. Brother Brandon Green has us a song tonight. Let's enjoy our brother. We always do. Give him a nice hand as he gets ready to sing for you tonight.
To try another old one here. It's one of my favorite hymns. Are You Washed in the Blood of the Lamb?
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you walking daily by the Savior's side? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you rest each moment in the crucified? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? bridegroom coming. Will your robes be white and be washed in the blood of the Lamb? Will your soul be ready for the mansions bright and be washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Lay aside the garments that are stained with sin and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. There's a fountain flowing for the soul unclean. Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
I don't know about you, but I'm thankful I'm washed tonight. Not washed in my own ability and what I can do, but I'm washed in His blood. I still believe underneath that blood there's forgiveness of sin. There's atonement for those that are drunkards, alcoholics, whoremongers. God's blood can still cover it. If I didn't believe it, I wouldn't be preaching tonight. But I believe His blood is still here. I believe it's present tense. And it'll be here till God gets done with it. Redemption ain't done because man gets done. When God says it's done, then it'll be done. Been a lot of men for a lot of years try to tell me that redemption's over. They've never been able to prove that to me because it ain't over till God says it's over. Amen. Well, I just love Him tonight, don't you? Amen. If you have your Bibles, I'd like to turn to the book of Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. God bless you. Certainly welcome to the house of the Lord this evening. Trust something will be said that'll help you tonight. Joshua chapter 1. We'll start at verse 1. We'll read down a few verses of scripture. Then I'd like to give you a quote tonight to start with. To get our minds going this direction we want to look at this evening. Joshua chapter 1 verse 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise. Go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give it unto them, even to the children of Israel. And every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon. Now watch how particular God is. From the wilderness and this Lebanon into the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not be any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. And as I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. I love this. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. So be strong and of good courage. For unto this people thou shalt divide an inheritance of land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper wheresoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. And then thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. And have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. Amen. Let's just bow our hearts and ask the Lord to help us. Lord Jesus, we come to this building not to see a man. We've not come nor even to see each other, but we've come to hear from your throne. We pray that tonight that you would take your word and may you take the bread, Lord, that is laid before us at the table, and may you break it tonight to our hearts. We are in such need of you coming by this building. Lord, I understand and I recognize it within my own self, Lord, just the frailty of a man has no ability. But tonight we look to you and we ask that you would come by this building. Lord, we sense that your presence is here. We believe that you've been here from the opening song. We're asking now, may you continue to take your word, break it to us, Lord. May our eyes come open, Lord, to be able to recognize what promises you have given to us in this hour. Help us now, each one as we come, and we'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated this evening. May the Lord add his blessings to the reading of the word. I want to start with a message that Brother Brown preached in Paradox, 1961, to build our subject. I'd like to speak this evening, if the Lord will help us, on conquering Jericho. Now, there may be a few of us gone, so we'll just pick up where they ain't here and just carry right on. I come to have church, and I hope you have too. Brother Brown makes a statement, Paradox, and it's a tremendous statement that Brother Brown makes. We've preached from it many times, but he said, in his vision, it was about 3 o'clock in the morning, I suppose I had gotten up. And I looked where in front of me, when I was coming down to Jordan, it looked like I was standing on the map of Palestine. And I was coming down to Jordan and it seemed like I could hear the song, I'm going down to the Jordan, someone was singing. And as I drew near the river, I looked back and seen which way I had come. And I was 2/3 of the way to Jordan and I looked across Jordan and I said, oh, praise God, just on the other side, is where all the promises lay. Every promise lays in the promised land, just on the other side. What Brother Ram is showing us is where he is at in his ministry. He had actually come to the place where he had moved from just first pool and second pool, as we say. He had now come to another part of his ministry that God was going to do greater things than what he had done in the first pool and second pool. And God had done great things through the prophet of God by being able to take the discernment in the hand and be able to take and discern the hearts of his people. But yet he said, I begin to look back from which I have come and I begin to look forward to where I'm going. And he said, just beyond that Jordan is where all the promises lays at. And brother and sister, I just have to believe that across Jordan, you understand scripturally across Jordan is where the squatters was going to be at. There was going to be more of a battle across Jordan than what there was previous time. Because the enemy had taken over the land of Canaan and they had squatted upon the land that belonged to God's children. And the prophet is telling us that all the promises lays across Jordan. Every promise lays where the squatters is at. Where the unbelievers is at. Where the doubters is at. There's promises that lays there. And how the enemy loves to throw up scarecrows when God has promises that he wants his children to receive. And here is the children of Israel, and as we read in the scripture, how that they have come now, and they had been in this journey of the wilderness for many of years. But yet now they come to the place where they can look back and see where they have come from. But then now they see that something is happening. They can look forward to what God is going to do just across Jordan. Just across Jordan, there's some promises laying there. Moses had been with them and told them years ago how that God had given them a promise and they're going to possess the land and it's going to be a great land. And it's going to be a land that's flowing with milk and honey. And my, the great things that were laid there as the children of God longed to receive that promise. Hallelujah. It had been 40 years since Sinai. It had been 40 years since Kadesh Barnea. And they had circled that mountain year after year after year, leaving Kadesh Barnea. And they would leave that mountain, go down and just circle that mountain and come back to where they started at. Brother, they wasn't receiving no more property in God. They was only circling what revelation they had previously got. God had already given them the revelation at Kadesh Barnea. But now it's time to leave Kadesh. Let me just tell you, it's time to leave Kadesh. We cannot circle the message of God sent a prophet. We cannot circle the message of God sending us a messenger. But we realize now there is something that God's wanting us to catch underneath this great message of the hour. There's promises that lays across that Jordan. It's greater than first pool. It's greater than second pool. It's beyond what our minds can comprehend tonight. It's for every promise, for every child of God. We must cross this Jordan. Hallelujah.
We've got to cross this land. We've got to cross this river. And in that land, every divine promise of God lays just across Jordan. Moses had sent the spies over expecting a good report to come back. They're expecting to hear a report of a land that was flowing with milk and honey. They're expecting to hear good things. They're expecting to hear promises. They're expecting to hear revival. Hallelujah. They're expecting to hear shouting in that land. They're expecting to hear victory in that land. They're expecting some overcomers in that land. Amen. He had sent the 12 spies over and they're expecting a good report. They're expecting good things from God. Not depression. Not oppression. But good things from God is what they're expecting. Hallelujah. But the problem is, some of these spies that went over had unbelief in their heart before they ever left. Before they ever left the camp, unbelief was in their heart. He said, Brother David, it was the giants that got them scared. Oh no. There was unbelief in their heart before they ever left by Moses' command. Amen. Brother, if you start this journey and you've got the right approach to God and you've received the right revelation, when you get there, there's no enemy going to scare you off your property. When you recognize what belongs to you, there's not enough giants, there's not enough squatters up on that land to scare you away from that promise that God has given to you. Hallelujah. When they leave Moses, they got unbelief in their heart. When they leave Moses, there's just a slight of doubt there. So when they come to the land and they see these giants, it takes that unbelief and begins to rev the motor up. And it gets greater and greater and greater. And no doubt they're spying around. They're hiding in bushes. They're hiding behind rocks trying to see what the spectrum of the land might be. And they come back from the revival, from the spying campaign. They come into the camp. They come dragging themselves in. They come with long jaws about dragging the ground. They come with their towels, not handkerchiefs, towels. They come with tears. They come with murmuring. They come with complaining. They come with doubts. Hallelujah. They come back to the church of God and Moses begins to give them an opportunity to have a testimony service. Brother, there ain't nothing like a good old-fashioned testimony service. Brother Bram called them popcorn services. You got something on your heart like popcorn. You jump up and tell what your testimony is. So they're going to have a testimony service. And they come back into the camp. And all of a sudden these doubters, with unbelief on their minds, begin to testify about what they seen. Brother, they pulled out their long list of everything that had ever went wrong in the message. They pulled out their list of every preacher that had ever failed. They pulled out their list of every singer that had went out back out to the world. They pulled out their list of every deacon, every church member that has run away from this message. Come on, somebody. And they begin to tell them, I tell you, there's giants in that land. You never told us there was going to be a war here. Moses, you never told us there was going to be giants in that land. While we're like grasshoppers up to their size. You didn't tell us this, Moses. You told us the good parts. You told us what belonged to us, but you didn't tell us we was going to have to fight. You realize, here some of these people hear this. These spies are putting doubt in their minds. They're putting seeds of doubt. Seeds of unbelief. Seeds of discouragement. Making the people doubt Moses' message. Doubt Moses' vindication. To doubt thyself, the Lord. Brother, when you stand against this message, you're not standing against William Branham. You're standing against God. These men failed to recognize what Moses was doing. They didn't understand what Moses' ministry was to do. They didn't understand Moses' job. Moses' job wasn't to tell them about giants. Moses' job wasn't to tell them how they would look in the eyes of their enemies. Moses' job was to establish a relationship between Israel and God again. Hallelujah. I said he was to bring back the turn the hearts of the children back to the original relationship. The relationship that Abraham had had with his God. The relationship that Isaac had had with his God. He is here to turn the hearts of Israel back to a relationship where they can know God in a personal way. Hallelujah. They've left Egypt, but no relationship. They've seen the bread, the manna fall from heaven, but no relationship. They've witnessed, they've heard discernment. 1956, they heard discernment. 1962, they heard discernment. 1965, but they still had no relationship. Hallelujah. They didn't have a real relationship. They've left Egypt. They saw water come out of a rock at millions of gallons a minute. Amen. They saw God take and trample their enemies underneath their feet. They've seen God do mighty great things in their lives. But I tell you, they failed to recognize that God wanted this to be more than just a relationship about what Moses did. I'm going to say it again. It's more than a relationship of what Moses did. Hallelujah. It's more than what Moses did outside at sunset. It's more than what Moses did in Jeffersonville. It's got to become a personal relationship between you and Almighty God. It can't be you and the prophet. It can't be you and your pastor and the prophet. It's got to be a relationship between you and God. You can't drag somebody else in your relationship. You can't drag your wife. You can't drag your kids. You've got to have your own relationship with God. Hallelujah. Oh my. That's the reason why God, through Moses, told Pharaoh, let my people go. Because Moses recognized that Pharaoh had him bound. And God wanted to be worshipped. You believe that? I want them to worship me. I want them to know me. And I'll just tell you, that's still his desire tonight. He wants us to know him. Not just in sermon form. Not just in book form. Not just in tape form. He wants us to know him in a living reality that he is alive in your heart. Moses' ministry is to bring an exodus, to bring a return to the people, to a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And we've had that same thing in this hour. This message was never sent to make camps. Come on, somebody. This message was never sent to build up walls. This message was never sent to make Perugia camps and return camps and thunder camps. Preach, Brother David. This message has been sent to tear down every wall. Tear down the walls of the preachers. Tear down the walls of the laity. Tear down the walls of our young people. This message has been sent to tear the walls down. Hallelujah. Every wall of man's ideal is going to be torn down. Every man's I think or I believe is going to be torn down. God don't want your I think. God don't want your I believe. He's given you the word to believe. He's given you the mindset of the word of God. And that's what he wants your mind on tonight. Hallelujah. He wants you to know that he's the same for you. As well, he is right now, as he was 2,000 years ago, as he was when the children of Israel was in the fire, in the burning of the fiery furnace. He wants to let you know that same God is right here present tonight. He wants you to know that your God is not buried in a grave somewhere. Your God ain't buried in Jeffersonville. Your God is not buried in Tucson. Your God ain't even buried in Jerusalem. Hallelujah. My God is alive tonight. He may have went to the grave, but he's not in the grave tonight. He is resurrected. But Satan is trying to take the value of our message away. That's why he's attacking the validity of our message. That's why he's attacking the vindication of it. Listen, friends, the devil ain't no dummy. He knows how to try to shake people from the word. What are they attacking? The man. Think about it. Watch what they're attacking. They're attacking the man, the humanity. That does my heart good. Because they can't touch his doctrine. They can't touch the word of God. They can't touch water baptism. Hallelujah, somebody. They can't touch marriage and divorce. They can't touch the Godhead. They can't touch the revelation of the seven seals. So they want to pick at the man and pick at Moses and talk about Moses' fault and Moses' mistake. Brother, God sent me more than just a man. He sent me the word through the man. Hallelujah! That's why these Hittites and Amorites around our message is propagating the trash they're propagating. Don't you see, friends, Satan is trying his best to disarm us. If you ain't got no weapon, you can't fight. Hallelujah! He wants to disarm us and take away our weapons. If not, he'll make you question whether your weapon works or not. If you don't believe, if you ain't got no faith in your weapon, you might as well throw it down. If you got no confidence in what God's given you, you ain't no good. But I come here tonight to declare war on hell. Amen. And my question the Lord put on my heart, who is on the Lord's side among you? Who's on the Lord's side? Who's willing to stand? Who's willing to fight? Who's willing to cross this Jordan? Hallelujah. These pharaohs are trying to keep God's children in bondage. These pharaohs are trying to keep God's children bound. But brother, I've not been given the spirit of bondage again to fear. Hallelujah. Abraham tells us the message paradox. Joshua here is actually, it's a book of redemption. The Old Testament, Joshua, we would have to consider it to be that the book of redemption. Because it's redemption, it has two parts. Isn't it amazing where everybody fails at is the first part. Coming out of and then going into. They come out, but they fail to go into. Redemption anywhere has two parts. That's it. If it's out of and into, it takes two parts to make redemption. Moses represent, I love this. Moses represent the law, which brought them out of Egypt. Whereas Joshua represents grace that took them into the promised land. Another way, the law and grace were two different aspects of God's command. The law brought them out, but Joshua took them in. Watch what he says. It also represents something from our day. It represents, as they were in the journey coming from Egypt to the promised land, so have we come out of the world of Egypt. Chaos on our road to the promised land. Watch what Brother Branham quotes. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it wasn't so, I would have told you St. John 14 coming out and going into. So according to Brother Branham, is we come out of the world and we go into a theophany. Is that what he's saying? In my Father's house is many bodies, many theophany bodies that has already been prepared, that's eternal in the heavens. He said you come out of the world and then God gives you your theophany. What happened at Kadesh? Wasn't about what coming out of is. What happened at Kadesh was about going into. See, it's a decision place. A lot of people has come out of Egypt. Many people sat on Mess's pews. But they never got Egypt out of them. Never got Egypt out of them. I've seen many young people come to an altar. And they try their best to come out of Egypt. But brother, if you don't die out to everything, you don't get Egypt out of you. Why is it so hard for a man, brother, and said, to live a Christian life? Brother, and said, you've never died to all of those old desires. How can you cross Jordan as long as you got desires of Egypt and wants of Egypt? I'll tell you, you can't do it. God had already told them about the land. God had already described to them And he's told them over and over again. Now he doesn't just say this once and forget, but God tells them over and over again, it's a good land. And this land is yours. This land is yours. He describes the land in perfect detail. Why does God describe it in such detail? Moses wanted to know so bad. He sent the spies over. And when these spies come back, they should have more faith than what they had when they left. Preach, Brother David. Because the message that was preached was identified with what was across Jordan. It should have built their faith. But all that searches the land, the message, I mean the land, is not predestinated to take the land. That don't mean they're lost. That just simply means we ain't all elected. Amen. Everybody that said Moses said, Moses said, Moses said, was not going to cross the land. Everybody that says Brother Ram said, it's not going to cross the land. Hallelujah. 10 of them comes back with a negative testimony. And here they are having a testimony service. Telling them how big them men are. How great. Oh man, you should have seen the size of these guys. There's giants over there. These guys are so big. We look just like grasshoppers up beside them. Well, I'm sure you do when you're laying on the bushes on your belly. When you're hiding behind a rock, trying your best not to be seen. I'm sure you look that way. But see, their eyes was eyes of doubt. Eyes of unbelief. And in their heart, if they would have had faith like Caleb and Joshua, there'd be no doubt this land is ours. We look like grasshoppers up beside them. That's not a quote from the message of the hour anyway. I said Moses never said that. That's something that they come up with once they got in there. Hallelujah! Moses never quoted that. That's not thus saith Moses. Amen. So here they are quoting things that's not in the message. There's giants. Who said it? Great warriors. Chariots of iron. Men has the ability to fight. How in the world are we ever going to take that land? How are we going to take it? There's cities. There's cities with walls so big. Man, I tell you, I looked on top of them walls as far as my head could stretch up and look. I was amazed at how big they was as I looked around those walls. And I think, man, are we sure we're following the right message? I mean, look how big their churches are. I mean, those walls are. Look how many people they got going. Oh my, million more in 44. Look how many they got. Woo. My, big enough. They could build homes on top of them. Houses was there in the wall. They had so constructed the walls where houses was actually inside these walls. Brother Ram said the walls was big enough. They could actually have chariot races around the tops of the walls. But I'm not talking about some 4x4 doghouse. I'm talking about a great big city that had great big walls with a lot of squatters that was living there in that land. And they're saying, how are we going to take this? How are we going to overcome them? How are we going to get on top of them walls? We ain't got no ability to climb them walls. How are we going to overcome them? We built ladders. They'll just knock us off of them. We didn't think this through when we left Egypt. I mean, at least down in Egypt, we got 3 square meals a day. I mean, we had to take a beating every now and then, but so what? Yeah, we worked every day. They didn't let us worship like we wanted to worship. There wasn't no freedom in the church. We was all bound with some type of a devil of some kind. But Egypt wasn't that bad. Well, go on back to Egypt then. I said, go on back to Egypt then. But who's on the Lord's side? Saying, God, there ain't a wall big enough. There ain't a mountain wide enough to stop me from getting what's mine. How are we going to overcome? Let me give you some message questions. How are we going to overcome? Who can live this message anyway? How in the world is anybody going to make it in this rapture? How in the world are we going to defeat giants? In the back of the crowd of this testimony meeting that's going on, two hands come up. We've heard you testify a while. How about you sit down and let us talk a while? How about you let somebody that's got some anointing preach for a little while? How about let somebody that's got words of faith, words of belief, words of overcoming speak a while? We've heard your unbelief. We've heard your doubts. We've heard what you saw. But how about you sit down and let us speak a while? Brother, that's what you need to tell the devil sometimes, is let me testify a while. Come on, somebody. Let me tell you what I see in this land. Let me tell you what Moses said belongs to me. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something. There's big men. Yes, there is. Walled cities. Yes, there is. But there ain't a city tall enough that my God can't bring down. There ain't a giant big enough that my God can't squish with his finger. Matter of fact, me and Caleb got to looking around there, and I'll tell you, there was some good things in that land. There was milk flowing. There was honey. Oh, my, they had grapes, clusters of grapes, where it took all 12 of us to carry them back. Wouldn't you love to saw that? Joshua and Caleb beating these unbelievers into carrying these grapes back. Whew. So he was bringing the food back on the shoulders of men that didn't have no faith anyway. About said something I should have, but I held it back. Amen. Amen. Hey, I say whatever, however he's got to deliver the mail, I'll take it if it's the word of God. Amen, somebody. Man, in this land, there's a Holy Ghost like you ain't ever had. In this land, there's overcoming power. In this land, there's joy, there's peace, there's deliverance. In this land, just across that Jordan, is where all the promises lays. Yeah, but Joshua, we need more than Moses' message. Woo! Unbelief. Well, I believe the land's there. But it's going to take more than what I read in the Bible. You doubter, you unbeliever. Don't you see what these guys is doing? They're planting these seeds in all of these people's minds. Trying their best to pull them away from the promises that lays there. He's trying their best. Get your eyes caught up on the flesh. Get your eyes on the humanity side. And they miss the promise that God has in store. They're doubting the very message that God sent them to overcome by. You may feel that way tonight, but let me tell you something. My God is more than able. He's not just enough. He's more than enough. You may not see it. You may not understand it, but I'm telling you, He is more than enough. As a matter of fact, He's working right now. I'm preaching tonight. He's cutting away doubts. He's cutting away fears. He's cutting away unbelief. While the word of sword is coming forth, He's cutting things off of us. The spies is looking at obstacles. But God never told them what was waiting for them. He just said, it's yours. This is just yours. He's confident in His word. He ain't talking about giants. He ain't talking about walled cities. He ain't talking about unbelief. He's not talking about how many doubters is going to be there. He's not talking about how sharp their swords is going to be. He's not talking about how many spears is awaiting on them. All He says is, I'm the Lord thy God, and I'm going to go with you. He told them in great detail what belongs to them. God goes through great detail to explain to them everything that belongs to them. You realize that's important to God. He describes to them the length, the breadth. He tells them what the coast would be. He tells them how far north, how far south, how far east and west. He tells them every part of the land that is theirs. God has surveyed every inch of it. Oh, you missed it. I said, God's done been there. He's done been there. He ain't asking you to go somewhere he hasn't been. He's been there. He's told them. He's described it. He let them know what belongs to them. He's told them how much of the land is theirs. He's described every tree. He's described every corner. He's described everything in His Word. My God has surveyed every inch of it. And He wants them to know it's yours. God has surveyed this message that He has given to us. He has surveyed it and told us that through this message, He has told us what belongs to us. He told us what we're going to possess. But here's the problem right here. God tells them what's theirs. So they can look in the Word and have an intellectual conception of what belongs to them. They got an intellectual understanding of what belongs to them. But the problem is, if you ain't got an experience to back up those mechanics, you're in trouble. Oh, glory to God. Friends, I'm afraid that too many people has come around the message, they can explain to you the Godhead. Lorraine said, water baptism don't even take a revelation. It's plain black and white in the Scripture. You don't have to have a revelation. It lays right there in black and white. They can explain in great detail. Many a man has been able to explain the land to you. Explain it in detail. Every inch, every mile. They can show you what lays in the land by intellectual knowledge. But how many people's got a real revelation? Not just mechanics, but a dynamics to make the mechanics live. Hallelujah. They never experienced it for themselves. That's the problem we got around our message. Too many people, it can intellectually tell you about seals. They can tell you about white horse, red horse, black horse, pelt, preach Brother David. They can tell you about fifth seal, sixth seal, and seventh seal. But they've never experienced the God behind the seal. Oh, brother, if you ever get the God behind the seals on the inside of you, you're not worried about all the explanations. You're not understanding about worried about being an intellectual giant. You want the revelation of it. They can explain a lot of things. They can describe to you. Oh, my. They can describe it, but no birth. Woo. Woo. No birth. That's why Jesus said, you must be born again. You can possess the mechanics, but you have got to have the dynamics to make it run. God drove these survey stakes over in Canaan years ago. God drove them down and said, this corner's yours. This straight, this is yours. This tree on the other side, it belongs to you. Those survey stakes has laid there for years and years and years. But the problem is when we go into the land and we come up against an obstacle we can't get around, we just pull the survey stake up, come back a little ways, nail it back down. And then we come up against something that we can't overcome, we just pull the survey stake up, bring it in a little bit, nail it back down. And we come against this problem and that problem and another problem. And before long, we keep pulling our stakes in, until finally, you got one square inch. I'd invite you over, but there's just enough room for me. I mean, I love to have some fellowship around our great big message, but you see, this is all I got. This is all I got. And buddy, I'm telling you, we build our camps right around. You see that square by square? That's God sent a prophet. God sent a prophet. And we lose land year in and year out. And year in. Well, Brother David, I've tried my best to try to win my teenager. But I ain't been able to win them. So I just finally picked my stake in and just left them out. Shame on you. Shame on you. The problem is we have been dependent on our own abilities to save people. You ain't never saved nobody. Preach, Brother David. You ain't never saved nobody. I never saved nobody. There's only one thing to take away the sins, and that's nothing but the blood of Jesus. Brother, you may knock a few trees out of the way. You may open up a door, but it takes Jesus Christ to save somebody. I know we put our chest out thinking I've won so many souls. I've done so much, brother. Let me tell you something. You ain't nothing but a vessel in the hand of God. It's God does the saving. God does the filling. That's what's happened around our message. We've saved them and we've lost them. But if God ever saves them, He'll never lose them. Hallelujah! God ever gets a hold of them, nobody can take them away from Him. Well, I can't overcome this. I think I'll just pull my stake up. Because it's a lot easier. Brother Rob, it's a lot easier to pull that stake up than it is to get on my knees and fast and pray until God helps me overcome this. So we just get our post hole diggers out and dig around that stake and pull it up. Well, man, wasn't that easy. Man, blessed is he that overcomes. Praise God, I'm an overcomer. You've never overcome nothing. All you did was take God's word and cut it out. Don't you see, friends? That's what people have done with the message for years. They've taken the parts they like and they read them. But the parts they don't understand, or the parts they don't believe, they just cut that part out. Pick their stake up and move it in. Whether I understand it or not, I believe it. In my ministry, there's been times in my life that I have searched for the revelation of things. I didn't understand it. I've had people come to me and say, "Brother, I'm needing help with this. I need to understand this part of the message." I'm saying, "I'm sorry, I can't help you." Well, you're supposed to be a preacher. And we know all preachers know all things. I mean, they're great intellectual giants. They never make mistakes. They never get in the flesh. They never say things is wrong. They never do anything wrong. They walk right, talk right, spit right, look right, wear right. I guess you think Humpty Dumpty's God then, right? Where do we get these ideas? And because we think about the minister now, we think, well, Brother Ramel's the same way. I'm telling you, friends, don't get your eyes on the humanity. The humanity will let you down. Don't you realize Jesus said, "No flesh glories in the sight of God. Not my flesh, not your flesh, nobody's flesh." What we start doing is leaning to our own understanding and not to God's promises. He said, "The land is ours." But God don't even ask you to do it by yourself. That's what amazes me. We think, man, we're all by ourselves out here. And man, if I don't do it, it ain't going to get done. That ain't true. He said he would go with you. Matter of fact, the Bible said, "As I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. I will not leave thee. I will not fail thee. I will not forsake thee." He promised he would go with us. They come to Jordan. Joshua tells them, "We're going to cross. Finally, finally, we're going to cross. So just wait right here." Do you realize, friends? Right across this Jordan lays Jericho. Now, couldn't God have led them somewhere where the water wasn't so high? Because it's harvest time and the water's up. There's a flood going on. But I just know that when the enemy comes in like a flood, God's just going to divide the standard. Ooh, glory. They come to Jordan. Jericho. It's a great walled city. Evil men lives in there. Oh my. Jericho, Brother Ramos said, was always a cursed city. Since the Jews possess, Joshua curses a man to build this city. Jericho always represents backslidden. Conquering Jericho. Again, Brother Ramos says, Jericho lays in the valley. So the Jericho represents the backsliders, and Jericho represents the valley. So the first thing God wants them to conquer is a backslidden condition and coming out of that valley. They must listen. Jericho is the gateway to everything else that lays in Canaan. It lays on the other side of Jericho. But there's no getting anywhere else. No inheritance will be taken until Jericho falls. Listen to me again. You will receive no inheritance of anything else till you overcome that valley. You got to overcome that Jericho. You got to overcome that backslidden condition, or there's no other promise that you can receive. So what's Satan's ideal? I'll take their zeal away from them. I'll take every ounce of zeal they got. Brother, you can go. You cannot go any further until you get your zeal back. You've got to get your zeal. You've got to get your fire back. How can you go anywhere, friends, if you ain't got the fervency to want to serve Him and the fervency to please Him? So Joshua says, this is the way we're going to do this time. Last time I sent 12 spies across and 2 come back. So this time I'm just going to send 2. Right? Hey, listen, friends. Jericho may not realize it, but Jericho's already destroyed in the eyes of God. And like Brother Donnie told us Wednesday night, if we could only see it through God's eyes to realize it's already done in God's eyes. These men walking in Jericho was walking dead men. Hallelujah, somebody. They had already heard, friends. You realize Jericho had already heard that there's a church that's on the move. Hallelujah! They had already heard that a church was on its way. They had heard that God had been moving for this church, and they're coming toward Jericho. You need to let the devil know tonight that there's a New Testament church that's rising up tonight. Glory! These spies go out. They come in contact with an unclean woman. She'd broken every law of Jericho. Glory. She's unclean. She's filthy. She's got a bad name. But what this city don't know is who this woman really is. She had something about her. She had something on the inside of her. It was covered up with adulteries. It was covered up with lust. It was covered up with blackness. It was covered up with darkness. But inside of that woman was a predestinated seed. Hallelujah! Oh, glory to God. She's a child of God. She's elected. She's predestinated. She's chosen of God. She's ordained to make it. Rahab the harlot. Well, these spies went over to spout the land. Rahab saw them. That was her first opportunity she had. She didn't say, won't you bring Joshua over and let me see him. Let me size him up and see. He's a great big handsome fellow. Does he have curly hair? Well, you know, I might believe him to be the leader of God's band. She don't want to see Joshua. Ooh. She don't want to see any of his miracles either. You mean she don't want to look back to where they come from? Preach, somebody. I'm 2/3 of the way looking across Jordan. That's where all the promises lays. So here she is living on the other side of Jordan. Looking at all of these promises. And she don't want to go backwards. She don't want to go back to God sent a prophet. She don't want to go back to first floor. She don't want to go back to second floor. She wants what lays in this land. Glory to God. Oh, friends. Brother Ram said, notice, she didn't want to see Joshua. She didn't want to see miracles. She said, I've heard. Woo, glory. My Bible says faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word. I've heard that God's with you. The Rev said 2 preachers went into this place. two preachers are in Jericho. Two preachers. And somehow by these men, she says, I've heard that God's with you. And I want to go with you too. Now understand, she don't want to go back to see Joshua. She don't want to cross Jordan. She wants to move forward. Where did she get the understanding that they're not stopping at Jericho? They're going to the promise. Hallelujah! She'd heard enough about the promise. She know there's something land in this land. It's greater than Hittites. It's greater than Amorites. It's greater than Jebusites. There's word on top of word laying here. Brother Bram said, oh glory! She was persistent. I don't care what the rest of my people do. Oh, I love that. I don't care what the rest of these unbelievers in America does. I don't care what the rest of these doubters do. I want to know what my God's got in store for me. I don't care what the rest of these people do, how well they're dug in, how well they're fortified, how deep their bomb shelters are. I don't want a special briefcase to save me in case of nuclear fallout. I don't want to cut some kind of a special drink that puts me to sleep. I want to escape the destroying angel. I want to escape the spirit of destruction that's on Jericho. I want to leave Jericho. I have no desire to be here. God's given you this place. They're supposed to be preaching to her, and she's preaching to them. I said she's got voice. It's not goo-goo and guy-guy and maybe and I hope and I wish and I hope. God's give you this land. This land belongs to you and I'm going to go with you. I've done heard what Moses had done at the Red Sea. I'd heard what he'd done down the land of Moab. And when you leave, I'm going with you. She was persistent. Yes, sir. Remember that harlot Rahab? The spies brought that report about Joshua being a great man of God. God had told him how I'll be with you as I was with Moses. She had heard about how all the Amorites and so forth down there fell victim to him. But she's taking notes in this message. How he had killed Agag and so forth. But she never said, wait a minute till I see Joshua. God catch it, friends. She's not waiting to look to a man. She's not dependent upon the human part. She's looking to the promise. Looking to the promise! She's got her eyes on the promise! She didn't say, wait a minute, let me see him perform some kind of miracle that I'll believe. Let me see the sign of the hand. Let me just see him discern somebody's heart. No, sir, the word of the spies was good enough for her. Hallelujah. She's a harlot. She's bound by the law. She's supposed to die. Are you with me now? But somehow, because of this message of the promise, she's come out of her ideas. She's come out of her old ways. She didn't have no rights to live, but she had heard about this God. I've heard about what he's done, and I don't want to perish with these bunch of unbelievers around here. As a matter of fact, you may not know this, preachers, but the men in this city's hearts are melting because they're scared to death of y'all. If you could get that ideal of your enemy tonight, that he is scared to death of you. He's scared to death of your prayers. He's scared to death of your faith. And more importantly, he's scared of the God that you serve. Hallelujah! He's scared to death of our great dead God tonight. These people's hearts are melting. What are you going to give me? What do you mean, what are we going to give you? What are you going to give me? I'll turn you in right now. She had no intentions. She had no intentions. What are you going to give me? My life for yours. Sounds like bride, don't it? My life or yours. Here she is. I want something. I want a true token. I don't want some halfway religion. Come on, somebody. I don't want something that's going to fail me in the middle of my trials. I don't want something that's going to fail me whenever y'all come marching around this city. I don't want something that's going to, I'm going to be left out. I don't want a substitute birth. I don't want a birth of Moses. I don't want a birth of Joshua. I want a word bears. Not only that, look at her. Not only that, this is what I want. During the eyes of hour of taking Jericho, she's opened up her confession, telling them what she wants, what her desires is, what she wants. Are you with me now? What she wants. Not only that, I want my mama saved. I want my daddy saved. I want my children. Come on, somebody. I want my brother saved. I want my sister saved. I don't want to see my family lost. Who does that sound like? That sounds like me. That sounds like you. All right. That's what we're going to do. We're going to give you the scarlet thread. It's white, but we're going to give it to you. And so what we want you to do with this, just hang it out your window. Don't hide it in your closet. I said, don't hide this message in your closet. Don't hide your token where nobody can see it. Don't be ashamed of what God's done for you. Don't be ashamed of the message of the hour. But I want you to hang it out your window and put it on display. Just in case there's somebody else that's left in this Laodicea condition. Just in case there's somebody left right here in Johnson City that needs to be saved. Put your token on public display. Amen. Jericho is shook up. Yes, sir. Joshua's coming. Amen. Joshua. Man, it just scares me just to say his name. Amen. Joshua. The children of Israel. They've crossed the Red Sea. They made it through the plains. They've made it through Moab. They made it all the way across. Now they're at Jordan. They come to Jordan. The priests take that word and put it on their shoulders. They dip their feet in the water. And immediately the waters begin to part. I said the ministry takes the word on their shoulders. As I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. God had opened up the Red Sea for Moses. Now the ministry has the word and the waters begin to open up. Hallelujah, somebody. What are they carrying? Moses' message. They're carrying Moses' message. And Jericho is scared to death. They come across and Joshua says, I need 12 of you from the tribes to come here. Go get you a rock. And I want you to pile them rocks up right here. Listen, it's going to be a place of memorial. They ain't done nothing yet. But before they ever do it, God's going to testify. God's going to testify. Don't forget this spot right here. Don't forget this place of transition in your life. Don't forget this. They're hanging out there. Joshua decides to go check the city out. You're walking around, getting a battle plan. How we're going to take this city. How in the world am I going to take this city? He comes down beside the walls and he looks and there's a man standing there beside that wall with his sword drawn. Joshua says, are you for us or against us? Who are you? I'm the captain of the Lord. Listen, friends, it wasn't the sign in his hand. Preach, somebody. I said it wasn't the sign in the hand. It was the sword in the hand. He had moved past first and second pull. Now, not just any sword, but the king's sword is in the hand of the captain of the host. He's got the sword in his hand. The word of God, the message of the hour, the sword in his hand. This ain't first pull sword. This ain't a second pull sword. This is the silver sword of redemption. Hallelujah! The They are where all the promises lays at. It's underneath that silver sword. And this man speaks. I gotta quit. And he said, Joshua, take off your shoes. I've heard that somewhere before. I've heard Moses talk about that. I remember Moses talking about that. I remember Moses talking about that. Because I remember it very distinctly. I remember he was down there tending his daddy's sheep. And I remember Moses talking about going there to where that hot-headed redhead was at in that tent. And when he went in there, I remember him, Zorb before, saying, Moses, take off your shoes! No doubt it disgusted him. He humiliated him. And Brother Ram said they got hot on the backside of that desert together. I can imagine. Finally, Moses says, I can't take this no more. I'm leaving. I'm going to the mountain. There's a strange fire up there anyway. Moses climbs up that mountain, gets up there, and the first thing God says is, Moses, take off your shoes. Something begins to stir in the heart of Joshua. I've heard Moses talk about this. I'm going to take my shoes off. Brother, when you get in the presence of the captain of the Lord, you can let your hair down, take your shoes off. You don't have to worry because the captain of the Lord is on the scene. Hallelujah. Let me encourage you tonight. The captain of the host is here. He said he would be with you and he's here tonight. Why is he standing by that wall? Why is he standing by that wall? Because there was something there he was protecting. There was something there he was watching over. There was a pledge, a promise, a guarantee he was watching over. Hallelujah. And the captain of the host gave Joshua the battle plan. Brother and sister, ain't nothing going to hurt this woman. She wouldn't be no safer if she was sitting in the king's palace herself. Nothing was going to hurt her. She had the token of plight and nothing could kill her. No rock, no stone, no devil could kill her. She had a protector following her. And he was standing behind that token. Brother, the third pull was Israel's protection. And your protection in this hour is the opening of the word. The mysteries has been revealed. It's revealed your name. Jericho is going to fall. No question about it. But God ain't going to have one casualty on his side. But I thought you said they was going to war. They are. But this is the Lord's army. He told him how to overcome. They come up to these walls. Can you imagine how strange this looks? They come to these walls. I'm quitting. And Joshua says, this is what I want you to do. I want all you guys that plays instruments to get up. I want you to pick up that ark. And I want all you people to follow behind them. And I want you to march around this city. I'm not talking some little bitty spot that can be accomplished in 20 minutes. If you want to overcome something, it's going to take some perseverance. Matter of fact, one time Brother Ram said it took all day. Just depends on how quick you want to march. So they take off marching. And like us, I can guarantee you, what are we doing in this church? What are we doing in this message? I mean, we're just going to march around like something's going to happen because we're walking around these walls. And they march all day and get back. And Joshua says, take your rest. Take your rest. So he gives them rest in the middle of battle. Aren't you thankful? I said they got rest in the middle of their battle. The greatest battle they was ever going to fight was right here at Jericho. And God gave them rest in the middle of it. The next day they wake up, they march. I don't know, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Finally, I'm sure there's people like there is today. We're tired of this. We are sick of this same thing over and over again. We come to church, we hear the preaching, we hear the singing, we go home, we come back, we hear the preaching. Listen, friends, well, Billy, I don't think there's anything going on. There's a lot going on in this building tonight. The problem is we're still leaning to our understanding of what's happening. If we don't feel it, if we don't see it, we don't think there's anything going on, and it couldn't be further from the truth. But this last day, which would be the seventh day. Hallelujah, somebody. This day, we're going to march more than we ever have. I said the battle's going to be tougher than what it ever has been. You're going to have to do more than any other age has ever had to do. You're going to march more than they. You're going to fight more than they have. But you're going to have a sevenfold reward for a sevenfold march. Glory. Can you imagine in the middle of all this marching, 1, 2, 3, you think they're getting tired? I guarantee they're getting tired. The sun's hot and beating down. No doubt enemy is running their mind thinking, what is this going to do? Is this going to do anything at all? You mean is our footsteps going to actually scare them to death and they're just going to fall on their own swords? How's this going to happen? This ain't for you to decide. This ain't for you to figure out. This ain't got nothing to do with you. You're supposed to have your marching orders. But Brother David, what are we supposed to do? We just supposed to sit around this message. What are we supposed to do? I'm telling you, you've already been given your marching orders. Quit worrying about the ins and outs and all the problems. Let me tell you, God has gave us orders tonight. We've got marching orders. So just march, brother. Don't worry about anybody else's place. Worry about your own. That last time around, Joshua says, wasn't that good? Whew, that was good. I tell you right now, I feel like I've been on Red Bull for a week. I feel good. Whew. What are we going to do now? We're going to wave the white flag and cross back across Jordan and hope that we can live in the plains of Moab? Oh no, we're not going back. Oh God, let me announce something to you, Happy Valley Church. We ain't going back. We ain't giving up. We ain't going to stop moving. We're called. We've got marching orders. What do you want us to do? I want us of one voice, the voices of one man. And they come together with one mind and one accord. I just want you to shout. Let me look this up in Warriors Techniques for Israel. I found it. And the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. Brother, we got marching orders! I can imagine with one voice, they opened up their voice like they have never opened it up before. And they begin to scream and shout and praise God. At the last note of screaming, amen! Something began to move. Oh God. Something began to move under their feet. No doubt they begin to move back away from these walls a little bit. God help you and I not to get too close to their walls. And amen belongs right there. Move back because something's fixing to happen. Do y'all feel what's going on? My feet's moving and I ain't doing it. Somebody's moving me. Hallelujah! About that time the walls begin to shake. One stone from way up top falls all the way down. Like I'll shout again. Oh, no. Just step back and stand still. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. The walls begin to shake of the city until they crumbled down to the ground. Where one place in the scripture said they marched across. So God must have crumbled them so small and so little that Israel could pass right over the top of them. Dust begins to fly. Man, Lord, mercy. right in these devils' heart. This dust begins to settle. Here comes walking a Gentile woman out on the ashes of the wicked. Glory to God. Glory! Here comes Rahab walking out on the ashes of her enemy. Wait a minute! She was a harlot. She's unclean! She's filthy! Joshua said, no, she's not. But she did this and 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 this. Well, Joshua says, if you got to bring something against somebody, you've got to have some witnesses. We need your witnesses. Would you please bring them before us? Joshua whispers over to Rahab, don't worry. Don't worry, I've done my job. I've done my job. Woman, where is thine accusers? God had killed every one of them. God had smashed every one of them. God had trampled every one of them. Let me tell you something, Happy Valley. Your accusers are dead. They are dead tonight. You can't be held accountable. They are dead. Let's stand on our feet tonight. God bless you. Brother, there was no records of any deeds she had done. There was no records of prostitution. The deeds of her life was destroyed underneath the rubble of Jericho. I'll tell you, my God is still conquering Jerichos tonight. I don't care where you're at. My God can bring your walls down. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Brother David, what's God protecting? Through this woman, the seed line of Jesus Christ was going to come forth. So he's protecting his seed line. He's letting no accusers to be held against his seed line. Let me tell you something, Tamar. You will be held unaccountable for your deeds because of that blood of the seed line. Don't you know, Rahab? There's no accusers to stand against you no more. For whom the Son is made free, you're free indeed. Let's bow our hearts tonight if you would. This is our promise. This is our land. This is our place in the Word. We can overcome by the spoken Word of God for this day. We can overcome because of the opening of the seals. We hear messages like, it is the rising of the sun. We hear messages like, shalom. We hear these messages, friends. Why? Why is it? Invisible union of the bride. It's because our Joshua has done his part. No wonder, Brother Ram, comes invisible union so that your old life, your old deed, it's been dead. Your old husband is dead. He's been killed. And you're free to remarry Jesus Christ. Rahab, I'll tell you, you're free from your past to marry the Lamb, Jesus Christ. You can overcome by that word. You can defeat the enemy by that word. Take that sword in your hand tonight and stand against every enemy that would oppress you, every enemy that would come against you. Stand there toe to toe with your enemy and tell him, I refuse to go back across this river. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, I sent you in the building tonight. Oh, my, maybe somebody's behind these walls. Maybe somebody needs some land possessed. Maybe somebody has a condition that they need to move on across these walls of Jericho. Let me just remind you, the captain of the host is here tonight. Don't wait. Don't look off in the future. Don't look to the past. He's here right now to conquer the Jerichos of your life. No matter how big they are, no matter how big the enemy is, He's here to march your walls down tonight. God sent you this message to tear your walls down, church. Don't give in. Don't give up on you, God. Don't give up on it. You may have marched once, but don't give up on it. You may have marched 6 days, but don't give up on it. God's got it in control. Let me tell you, my brother, He's mindful of that prayer you prayed. My sister, He's mindful of your prayer. Don't give up on Him. The captain of the Lord is here to tear every wall down. I'll tell you that in the name of Jesus Christ tonight. Don't give up on your God. Don't give up on Him. Oh, can't you feel it, friends? Can't you sense the movement under your feet? Can't you hear the sound of the sound in the mulberry bush? Can't you hear it? Something's on its way. Something's happening tonight. Something's happening in this building. All of your spiritual eye can see it. Walls, blocks is falling one off another, off another, off another. Walls are being torn down tonight. Heavenly Father, You see every hand in this building, Lord. I sense Your presence. Dear God, I know You're very near. I want to tell You, we trust Your word tonight, Lord. Oh God, we believe the promises that You have given us in this spiritual Canaan, Lord. I ask You, oh Father, may we as the bride of Jesus Christ, may we do our part to possess this land, Lord. May we do our part to keep marching, Lord. Help us not to look to the left. Help us not to look to the right. But may we keep our eyes on that promise. Lord, at all costs tonight, help us to look past all these things that's around us. Every besetting sin, every problem in our life, every trouble we may have. May we look past them tonight, Lord. May we look to the unseen tonight and believe that that promise has been given to me. If I believe, all things are possible. There's no wall too big for You. There's no enemy too big for You tonight, Lord. You're able. You're able tonight. Lord, I remind You of Your word. Where two or three is gathered together in Your name, You promised You would be in the midst of us. We believe You're here tonight. I believe the promise of God. Lord, they lay all around us. But we got to knock these walls down. We have got to knock these walls down. How am I going to do it, Lord? You've told us in Your word. Just keep marching, keep marching. Don't worry about how it's going to happen. Don't try to cipher it out and figure it all out. The conqueror, Jericho's here. I believe You're here tonight, Lord. We love You, Lord. We thank You for Your word. Help us not to get our eyes on Egypt. Help us not to get our eyes on flesh. May we keep our eyes on the promise. No matter how many days go by, no matter how many days we got to march, help us to keep our eyes on that promise tonight, Lord Jesus. Help Your children. Help Your children tonight. Search us, I pray, in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Oh, thank You, Lord. Thank you. Hallelujah. That's your promise. Listen, friends, don't settle for a halfway religion. Don't settle for a halfway experience. Don't settle for just the feeling. Well, I felt something. Don't settle for that. Go all the way. Brother Ram stood up on that map of Palestine. He said, all the promises lay across Jordan. Don't give up until you get it. Hallelujah. Let's sing that. I'm on my way to my Lord. Let's sing it. Let's go higher than that. Well, I'm on my way. I'm on to Canaan's land. Well, I'm on my way. All let's clap our hands now. Well, I'm on my way. Going to my land. Yes, I'm on my way. Going to promised land. Greater is he that is in me. Let's sing one more before we go. Is that all right? Man, I'm just getting fired up just now. Amen. Takes the whole service to shake everything off of you. Once you get everything shaken off of you, you got a little bit of freedom. Want to worship a little bit. Amen. Well, greater is he that is in me. Yes, greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me. He that is in the world. Well, greater is he that is in me. Brother, greater is he that is in me. Eyes on.